Hey everybody, this is coming on episode 18 of Those Sumo Guys. Mike Herman here with Sean Rimmer, and today we are joined by a special guest that we're honored to be interviewing today and talking to, Steph Neubauer, who's a coach at CrossFit Sumo, and we brought her on the podcast to get her perspective on, you know, turning into a master's athlete and kind of see how she found CrossFit and just talk to her and chat for a little bit. Steph, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've been listening. I've been a fan of those Sumo guys.
Woohoo. Yeah, we only bring on like super fans of the show. I think. we could start like with your background and kind of see like before you started coaching, before maybe you even found CrossFit, like what's your background in like, you know, the fitness world and or even just like college in those days?
Yeah, who is Steph?
It's been a long journey, boys. It has been quite a journey. I have been involved in sports pretty much my entire life.
Did you grow up playing sports?
I did. So I grew up way back in the 70s and the 80s. And I grew up playing soccer. Yeah. I lived on Long Island. I tried to shed the accent, but every once in a while it rears its ugly head. But so where I grew up, soccer was a big deal. Most kids played soccer. And I think, you know, now also looking back, this has been a little journey back down memory lane, thinking about doing this podcast with you all, because of course I tried to think a little bit back about where my athletic career began. I think what's interesting too back then was that soccer really was a sport that girls were encouraged to play back at that time. I mean, I never felt like it wasn't acceptable or encouraged. So many girls, young girls played soccer where I grew up. And so I remember playing soccer as early as first or second grade.
Yeah.
And then through middle school and high school, I was involved with different school teams. I played softball in middle school. I played field hockey at one point, which is kind of weird that that was a new sport to me. And soccer, and I was on travel soccer teams through high school. And then I went away to college, and that could have been a time where my athletic career would have ended. I wasn't ever considering any kind of collegiate team experience, but I was always surrounded by other women who would go to the gym and work out, and I would run. And at one point, I think I tried the crew team, you know, club teams, but then I was like, this sucks because it's at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I rejected that one. But then I found my calling, and that was ultimate frisbee.
Oh. What college were you at?
At SUNY Binghamton. And so I started there in 1989. And I majored in psychology and sociology. And I was heavily involved in Ultimate Frisbee when I was there. So that was my entire life, besides studying. And so we practiced and we traveled and we competed, and my social life revolved around it. Every weekend revolved around it. And it was, you know, an amazing experience. It then influenced even after college when I went to graduate school and moved around a little bit right after college. I was involved in club Ultimate Frisbee and league Ultimate Frisbee. And not only was I involved in it, I sometimes made decisions about where I was going to live based on where leagues existed and you know that there was co-ed leagues and summer leagues and things like that.
You drank the Kool-Aid, Steph.
Drank the Kool-Aid. When I'm in, I'm usually very in.
Have you, ever, is there like adult leagues or anything? Have you, do you still try and play?
So I actually just recently saw that Doylestown still has a pickup game, a regular pickup game. And every once in a while, I still feel sort of like the idea of getting back into it seems exciting and, you know, kind of tempting.
Yeah.
But then I remember how hard field sports are on your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, we're all field sports people here.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's the part. And being out in the cold.
Yeah.
And relying on the number of people to show up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
How, so when did you start like lifting weights? Did you lift weights for Ultimate Frisbee in college or no?
Well, I do remember that when I started dating my current husband, ooh, who always lifted, that was something he encouraged me to do. So I think that there was a point where I was going to gyms, like chain gyms, and I was doing like treadmill kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then Matt was like, you should try barbell, like touch a barbell, and you should squat and you should bench. And he helped me become comfortable with that scene. And he would take me to these really hardcore, like bodybuilding gyms that had pictures of like Arnold on the wall.
Yeah.
And he would show me like, this is what, you know, this is what these people do. They bodybuild and they lift. And because I had someone show me the ropes and I didn't feel afraid of going in there by myself. And even some of these gyms were kind of like seedy seeming, like they seemed like scary places to me, but I had somebody who was like, you can do this and you'd be good at it. And I always remember him saying like, you have the body type who would like, you would get good at this. And so that encouraged me to try it. And so then I felt comfortable going into gyms and touching barbells and, you know, being okay with lifting and not feeling afraid of being in gyms. I know that for a lot of women, it's intimidating to go into a gym.
Mm. Especially into the free weight barbell area.
Totally. Like you don't belong here, or, you know, you don't know enough to be in here. You don't have permission to be here. So yeah. I think having Matt show me that I'm allowed here too, was really important for me to try it in the first place. And then, so then I always felt comfortable in gyms. I thought, I belong in gyms. This is my space too. I can lift. So I always incorporated a little bit of weightlifting with whatever else I was doing, whether it was Frisbee or running. So at one point I spent a lot of time training for half marathons. That was a thing I did. And then the other part that was really cemented my love for the gym was then when I had young children and gyms created spaces to put your kid in the gym, like childcare.
Yeah.
That was happening in like the late 90s, early 2000s, where they would have a, you know, kids space.
Yeah.
Then that was amazing for me because I would go to the gym and then I would put my toddler in a childcare space. And that was like earth shattering to me to work out and have a safe place for my kid.
Yeah. I remember, a few times going with my mom to the gym and like going into the kids area, especially the Doylestown Fitness that was right there next to the Kmart and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. Mm-hmm. I was liked it.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of really allowed for a young mother to find time for herself and to do something for herself. I never felt guilty doing that because I thought also that my child was enjoying doing it, and I would get on the treadmill and like cross my fingers that I wasn't going to get a call to come pick up my kid in the, in the childcare area. Like, please let him hang on. Let him like not, you know, break his neck in there on the, you know, on the mats or whatever. So that was an important time for me to keep moving and running and lifting.
Let's dig into that a little bit real quick before we move on. Like, you know, traditionally, women are more responsible for childcare and, often feel pressure, like you said, to not put themselves first. How were you able to do that? And, how can you like maybe like have some advice for other people who are struggling with that?
I never really questioned that. I do think it is hard for women to make sure that they're doing things for themselves. But I know dads struggle with that too. I know, especially nowadays when men are taking more of a, you know, more of a role in taking care of the kids, that that's still something that they also have to balance. So for the most part, both mothers and fathers, men and women, need to prioritize getting into the gym. I think it's important for mental health reasons. I think it's important for physical fitness reasons. I see it as an investment, a long-term investment in my health. Part of that is that I see what aging has done to my parents' health. So that prevents me from wanting to let that happen to myself. I always feel happier when I spend time in the gym. I think my kids benefit from a happier parent. I know for sure now that I have set a good example for them. So for people who have young children and wonder if this time spent in the gym is creating, you know, an impact on their kids, not just that you're making your children do this stuff, but that they're watching you do this stuff. Now I see that when my kids are almost 18 and almost 20, that it has had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've paid attention. They are glad. They say that to Matt and I all the time. We're so glad that you look the way you do and you feel the way you do and you can do the things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
They say that to us. They appreciate it. That we're not, that we're capable of doing any activity that we want at any, you know, we can go on a hike, we can row in a boat, we can, let's sign up for a 5K. You know, we feel good most of the time. We're, you know, they're proud of us. They're proud of us to the, you know, when they introduce us to their friends. So they're grateful that we've taken care of ourselves.
That's cool that they recognize that. That's
awesome. I was about to elaborate on that because obviously having Charlie, who's turning 2 in February, you and I have talked extensively about this, of like the role model status for your kids. And obviously your kids are a lot older, and it is always reassuring and refreshing to hear like your kids do emulate what you do. And when you have those good habits, it trickles down to them too. And it also just instills, like I know you and I have talked about too, it's like the role of, you know, Charlie being a young girl and seeing her mom and Crystal working out and what that can do for a confidence level, and see if how strong she is and how, you know, she's able to do all of these things. And I think that's a really important piece that, again, is it kind of goes by the wayside, because I do think, like, going full circle back to this, people focus more on, am I not spending time with my kid if I go to the gym? And you can still have both and it have positive impacts on them. As long as you include them and, you know, want them to be a part of it, then everybody wins.
Yeah. I mean, there have been different times in my life too, where I've had to, you know, you balance some of these things. So you, I mean, my personal philosophy with a lot of my fitness things is that I try not to be too obsessive about it either. And I've gone through different phases of spending more and less time doing these things. And I'm not going to lie and say that I never struggled with that balance. I think now I have a healthier balance in terms of understanding that there's a whole big picture and mm-hmm. fitness and health is part of it. It's actually a huge part of it for me, but there are other things. There are times where I have to prioritize other things in my life and putting my children first sometimes and putting your work first sometimes. But no matter what, I think I've always had this underlying appreciation and emphasis on health and fitness and feeling good and making sure that I'm taking care of myself and that I'm taking care of the kids. And we all encourage each other. So that's another aspect of this. And I think you guys have also talked about this in the past with your spouses and partners, and it's a whole system where you're each encouraging each other and helping each other and reminding each other and allowing each other to take care of yourselves. Our culture makes it challenging to take care of yourself in so many ways, between work stress, school stress, the environments that are created in terms of nutrition. I mean, I can go on and on and on about that in terms of like how hard it is to eat well. It's so hard.
You mean the Snickers bars at the Home Depot checkout?
It's so hard.
Everywhere. Yeah, right. We could do a whole another podcast about that.
Totally. I think that might even be the most challenging like health concern there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit. So you had sports early on, you were pretty active in college, you found, you know, lifting weights through Matt, which I didn't know that. That's interesting. Then somewhere along the line, you had two children and you started doing CrossFit, or you found CrossFit. How old were you when you found CrossFit?
So I was living in a suburb of Indianapolis called Carmel, Indiana. Great place to live. Loved it there.
You've been all over the place, Steph.
Yeah, I lived there. Yeah. Before that, we lived outside of DC. I lived there too. And then we moved to Indianapolis. And a friend of mine posted a video. A friend of mine from graduate school posted a video in North Carolina where she was learning how to do kipping pull-ups. And I was amazed. I couldn't believe she was doing pull-ups. I, at the time, was using the assisted pull-up machine.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was kind of badass that I was using the assisted pull-up machine. And then this good friend of mine was doing pull-ups and kipping pull-ups in this video that she posted on Facebook. And I reached out to her, "What are you doing? That is amazing." It was the most amazing thing I had seen in a while. And she said, "I'm doing CrossFit. We have this CrossFit gym." She lived in Asheville, North Carolina. And she said, "You should check it out. You'll love it." And so I Googled CrossFit, and we had a brand new CrossFit gym, CrossFit Carmel. And I reached out to them, and they were very strict at the time about having to, you met with the owner first and did some kind of assessment. And then they put you in some kind of on-ramp program. And I was hooked the day I went. The gym was in a renovated garage, which was also like, whoa, it's in a garage, like a garage door.
Yeah, you're like, this is weird.
This is sick. I've never seen this before. This is, you know, and I thought it was so cool. And then they put me in on-ramp and I was like, I would see the other class happening. And I even asked them, can I just skip this? Because I was like, this is holding me back. I'm ready. I want to go.
No. Caged animal.
No, you have to do this. You have to learn how to do it, you know? And I was like, no, just put me in the real class. I want to be in the real class. And the things that stuck out to me as being amazing about it was I love learning Olympic lifting, which actually now looking back, I don't think the lifting that we were doing there really was any good. I don't think it was good technique.
Hindsight.
Yeah. I think it was like the CrossFit version, like the early CrossFit version.
Do with a pipe, now you can do with a bar, and then and you're off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else stood out to you?
I loved the camaraderie and the competitiveness of it. So I loved that I was in this situation where I was watching other people doing things like, here's this workout and there's a winner every time and you're competing in that moment. And I wanted to win. I wanted to do the most. And I wanted to be the fastest.
You, Steph?
Yeah. I wanted to win. And there was an opportunity every class to try to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find that, like, you know, your history with playing soccer and sports and all of that leading up to CrossFit, that it, like Mike and I have talked about this, is it kind of scratched that itch open of trying to, like, get back into that competitive, quote unquote, team sportish feeling, and like kind of direct some of that focus onto something like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was, I'm definitely a very psychological athlete in terms of loving goals and wins. And, you know, even when I was running, I was always the person who, I would play games where I would say, like, catch that person, go get her, you know, get ahead of that one. And so there's always this competitive side of me. So then you put me in a CrossFit class and I'm like, I want to do the best. Yeah. I want to win. And every day is a little opportunity to win and be your best, be your best, be the best in the class, do better than you did yesterday.
How old were you when you first found CrossFit?
I was about to turn 40.
And how old are you now?
And now I am about to turn 52.
Nice. So you've been doing this for like 12 years now.
Yes. So, so I was about to turn 40 and I was at CrossFit Carmel for, I don't even know if it was 6 months, and we were about to move again. And we were doing all this moving because of Matt's work. And so Matt got a job in New Jersey. So he works for pharmaceutical companies. So he was taking this new job in New Jersey. So we moved to Yardley, Pennsylvania. And so I started looking for CrossFit gyms. And so I started working out at a gym in Hamilton, New Jersey, CrossFit Mercer. It doesn't exist anymore. And I chose that gym because they had space for me to bring my kids. And that was why I ended up there. And that was amazing.
How young were they at the time?
They were, well, I had one who was maybe like, right before kindergarten or something like that. So I had one in school, and then I had one who was still home with me part-time. And they just had this space where everybody would dump their kids, and that allowed me to still work out. Yeah. kind of. Like, they're all corralled somewhere. There were a couple of kids corralled over there, and
they're so safe.
Yeah. That was like a really cool gym. It was a big space. There were a lot of blue collar athletes there. Like, there were a lot of police and firemen there. Mm. So it was this really interesting scene. And I wasn't there very long when the owner approached me. So think about this. I had maybe only done CrossFit for 6 months or something. And the owner approached me and said, I want you to get trained to be a coach.
Mm. I see what he saw, Steph.
Yeah. It's very easy to see that now.
I was
it might just, seem crazy to you, but to us, it's like, yeah, it, of course.
Brilliant, right? Well, the funny thing is I'm this kind of reluctant leader all the time, but I am often chosen to be a leader. Like, that doesn't always make sense to me.
Were you so, like a captain for your team?
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
I can see that too.
Always. Yeah. I was like hiding in the corner, and then they would say, you're going to be captain.
Yeah.
And then I would end up at, you know, we would, for Ultimate Frisbee, I was always summer league captain. And I was like, you know, on the night when we would, I would get invited and we would do the, what is that called when you choose your athlete? I don't even know what that's called. Like draft night. I would do draft night, you know, and then I would sit there like, oh my God, I got to pick a team. Yeah. So this owner asked me to be a coach, and
you got your level one.
Yep. Yep. So I went and, went and that was in 2010 or 11. Mm-hmm. And so CrossFit was still kind of new in terms of like the blow up of the affiliate situation. Yeah. And you would go to your level one and people were scared to death to do Fran, you know?
Yeah. They don't even do Fran anymore at the level one.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember if I was even able to do pull-ups at that point. I can't remember anymore, but, so I ended up getting my level one at that time.
Did, after you took your level one, did it deepen the love for it, or did it change it at all? Like, you said you were totally bought in that day one when you stepped into the gym. Like, I remember, like, when I took my level one, it was kind of like the reaffirmation of like, yeah, this is like what I want to do and this is what I like. Do you have that same feeling?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in that point, I felt so much more responsibility to get educated in how to do all the technique and the training behind how to get other people to love what I was doing. Mm. I mean, that was a big part of it. When somebody walks in the door and I love something so much and you want to share that same enthusiasm and then also keep people safe. And then also make sure people know how to do everything properly. I mean, those are always kind of like the pillars for me for coaching. I do think it's the best part of my day. And I like sharing that with other people. It's so fun. The people you meet, the experience, you know, so yeah, all of that became even more evident to me. I love doing this. I love learning about it. And I want other people.
See, and Steph, what you just said is I understand more of the why you got picked as a captain.
I was just going to say, I was like, spoken like a true leader.
Yeah. Presence and attitude, Steph.
So you've been doing CrossFit for 12 years now. You said when you first started, you were super competitive. And, you know, that was kind of scratching that itch for you a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about how that has evolved over these last 12 years. Like, you, how did, when did things start changing for you in terms of your attitude, if at all?
Yeah. So I think, I'm trying to think back when this happened. So I ended up coaching at CrossFit Mercer and simultaneously at another gym, CrossFit Nassau, which was in Princeton, which was also exciting because there were a lot of Olympic rowers who were coming in there too.
Whoa.
So I had experience with that population. But my time there was kind of wrapping up, and I decided to check out another gym in Newtown. So I was at CrossFit Newtown, and I walked in there and I said, I'm a coach, but I could just be a member. And they said, no, we want you to coach for us. So then I started coaching at CrossFit Newtown. And soon after that, I feel like local competitions started popping up.
Mm-hmm.
That was happening. So I don't know what year that was, but you know, that's now like 3 or 4 years into CrossFit for me. Yeah. And the local CrossFit scene started to develop where you could sign up for competitions and team competitions, partner competitions. So I enjoyed those early years of doing local competitions that were a little bit low key. Some of those events were fundraisers,
mm-hmm.
Battle in the Borough or breast cancer kinds of fundraiser events. So then I was dipping my toe into these events.
Right.
And then there was this shift where masters competitions were created.
Yeah.
And that was my jam because then I was able to compete in the 40 to 45 age group. And I was doing really well. Like I would podium. And I thought, this is the most amazing thing ever. And it was so exciting because then I was even having like my kids, they would come and I would win and they would see, you know, they would see me like get an award and I would win things. I would win money. So I was like, I felt like, you know, a superhero. And I remember at one point that I was, you know, like third place at some master's competition and I was on the podium and I'd won an award or something. And then the next day my kids were like vomiting in the bathroom because they had a virus. And I was like, this is my life now. Like on Saturday, I'm on the podium. And on Sunday, I'm like in the bathroom with my sick stomach flu kid, you know, it's like the juxtaposition of those two things was, I was like, this is where I'm at.
That's funny.
And I'm okay with it. So, and then the Open was a big deal at that point too.
Yeah.
Where gyms were really promoting and getting everybody involved in the Open. And so I really embraced being able to compete every year and compare my results. And I liked at the time too, they had started the master's divisions. So that was fun and exciting. And so now I'm in a little bit of a different place. And I'm okay with that too. Every once in a while, I think, wouldn't it be fun to do another master's competition, 50 and over or something like that. But I've also embraced sort of the being at peace with watching other athletes
mm-hmm.
go crazy and get into competition. And I'm excited when I see other people do well. More than I was in the past. In the past, I thought, no, I want to do well.
Right.
But now I get excited when I see people at Summa doing well. And I say, go for it. And I'll cheer for you. And I'll help you.
Yeah. Was there, can you remember like a time where that switch happened? Like a moment in time or Like, because I've had one like that. I'm sure Mike has, where it's like, I'm just on to the next phase of my journey here in this. Yeah. So do you know, do you remember where that was, or?
I don't remember, because sometimes it switches back and forth still, even still.
Like,
it still switches back and forth. There are still moments in my brain where I think, no, I could still go try again to do something.
Right.
And I think that's just the competitive, you know, it's just, that will never leave me. Right. So I've even, I can still scratch that itch, even doing a 5K and trying to do well there. I mean, so I still can grasp onto little things like that. I'm happy if I, you know, on a regular basis, if I do fairly well at Summa on a, you know, in a workout, it's super satisfying to me to beat people who I respect. And it's hugely exciting if I beat somebody younger than me.
Like, which happens often.
Yeah. I like, I'm super excited about that still. Like, it it's makes my head so giant privately.
Well, and on that note, and now this is for me personally, I'm sure Mike would share the same thing, is I find that to be very exciting on my end when, say, like you, my mom or whatever, when I get beat, because then I can see that, like, the I respect that so much, because I want to, again, emulate that. Like, we always talk about, we hope that we're as fit as Steph when we're her age, because it's going to be awesome if we are.
I hope so. And I feel like you will be. I mean, that's another thing that I think when I watch you guys, I think, man, they started, you know, at 30 or younger, in your 20s or whatever. So I just think, like, you're going to go even further. You're going to be even more fit by the time you're 50, as long as you don't injure yourselves, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's exciting too, to watch. And I love when other people my age kill it also. I mean, I think, wow, look at that. Look, you know, and I look at your mom all the time and I think, wow, her mobility is amazing. It's way better than mine.
Insane.
I wish I had that, you know, I wish I had the strength. I still have, and that's another part that I can't shut off. When I watch you guys, I think, I wish I was that strong. I mean, I still wish for that. That doesn't go away. I will never turn that off.
What about this? Like, so there is this perception out there amongst the general public that as you age, you're just going to get slower, weaker, more decrepit, more frail. Yeah. Like, and it's just inevitable. Now, you are someone who started CrossFit like later in life. You started when you were 40, you know, like you said, we, you know, Sean and I started in our 20s. There's kids now starting in their
like
single digits.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, who, like you said, have this huge ceiling to grow, but that's kind of counter to what people's perception of, like, you're just going to get older. And like, at some point, and I hear this still now amongst, you know, people in our circles that are like, you'll see, it'll catch up with you and it'll just suddenly flip around and you'll just be frail. What do you say to that? Like, have you been getting stronger and fitter as you?
Yes. Yes, she has.
You have, right?
I have been getting stronger in some ways.
Yes.
I mean, I think I'm doing more pull-ups now than I've ever done before.
Which is crazy, because, you know, so, that's what you started, like, that was what motivated you to start in the first place 12 years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, this week when we did those strict pull-ups, I was like, wow, I did all those pull-ups. That's amazing.
Steph, I did half as many pull-ups as you. And I was like, God, Steph is amazing.
I think that, like, a lot of my numbers have stayed around the same, which I consider a win.
Yes.
Because I think there have been different times in the past where I've done programming that has focused on a certain lift. Like, so this week when we did strict press, I think my, like, I did just 5 pounds less than maybe my PR, my five rep PR or something. But I might have gotten that PR when I was doing Wendler for strict press or something right. like that. You know what I mean?
So the fact that you still had that without yeah. the focus is pretty amazing.
Right.
And this is what I tell people too. Like, imagine if you kept the same strength numbers that you have right now when you turn 60, when you turn yeah. 70, when you turn 80. Imagine how much of a beast you would be if yeah. you just maintained your strength. Like, people put so much pressure on themselves to PR, and we did a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
And just imagine if you maintain your strength for however yeah. long.
You're going to be in like the top 1% of 1% yeah. of your age group at that point.
I'm not so concerned with PRing anymore. I'm not even concerned about one rep maxing anymore. Mm. So I feel like my focus now is on strength from all the things that I've been reading for what women my age benefit from. And I'm assuming this is for men too, is lifting heavy things.
Mm-hmm.
Strength training, like more than the cardio, you know, cardio bunny stuff and running and, you know, lots and lots of reps. I've been really telling myself, and once again, it's my psychological mental game that I play with everything that I do. I tell myself I'm going to go every day that there is a lift, because that is the thing that I will benefit from the most. Mm-hmm. And I read at some point that anything that is like heavy enough that you can only lift it five times is like kind of like the zone that I should be in. I should be doing things as often as I can where it's heavy enough that I can only do like five reps of it, you know? So five reps and less are going to be really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the high reps are bad for me, but it's so important for me to do things where I'm lifting heavy things. And so that's just the general guide I'm thinking about. So anytime something is programmed where I think, oh, there's only five reps or less, I just think that's for me.
Show
from up. Now on. Yeah, that's yeah. for me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. And even if it's not a PR, that is my new emphasis.
Yeah, I think that's amazing advice for women, but as you said, like men as well, like as you get older, we did a whole episode on strength training, like the future of fitness. And, you know, I think strength training is the thing that, again, like you said, moves the needle the most for mm-hmm. people, no matter what their goals are, you know, if we're talking about bone density,
yeah,
lean muscle mass, maintaining functionality as you get older, looking better, all of those things, strength training is pretty much the answer.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a good bod. I mean, I have to just tell you guys, like, I want to look like I lift weights.
Well, yeah. You look like Superwoman. So, so it's working.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, so that's kind of basic, and maybe you can call me shallow, but I like how that feels. I just like it. I like when other people look like that. I like when I look like that. So that motivates me, you know? I am not weak.
Yeah. And I think that that's a big part too, is it's almost breaking the norms of, you know, 40 years ago of, you know, expectations for people, whether it's, you know, in their gender or not. But I think that it's just important. And I don't think it's shallow at all, Steph. I think it's one thing, because actually we talked about this the other day. It's kind of eye opening. You know, we're in this microcosm of, you see everybody at the gym
yeah.
and you see how they look and you see that. But then when you step out into the real world, it's kind of it's crazy to think of, like, the typical, you know, adult person at this point, and like where they are. And again, it's not a shallow piece, but it's kind of you wanting the same thing for them that you want for yourself, right? And it goes back to like, how can I help this person? How can I do that? And again, I don't think that that's a shallow thing. It's just, you know, where we're at as far as
need to lift weights.
Yes.
Please, people.
Yeah. Everybody. It just kind of, it sort of leaks into all aspects of my life too, because I just always feel like if I'm putting this effort into looking good and feeling good, then I want to eat well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to prioritize my sleep. And it's, you know, I think you can be kind of casual about all of those things as long as you fit all of that in. There have been times where I've done nutrition counseling, like where I was being really strict about like what I was eating. And there are times where I'm being more strict about my training but now I feel like I'm at a place where I can be a little bit more casual about all of those things, but still prioritize all of those things and find balance in all of the aspects of my life, but still make sure that I'm taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you, what are some things that you say? So, you know, obviously lifting weights and doing the heavy days is important to you. What are other things that are important to you for your health? Like you said, like you're in a little bit of balance, but is there anything like specific behaviors that you do that you would say move the needle the most for you?
Well, I do prioritize my sleep. I just like making sure that I get enough sleep. I have to say that I don't drink much alcohol anymore.
It's a big one.
Asterisk anymore. Yeah. So, I mean, I was never a super duper heavy drinker in the first place. But you know, I like brewed beer at one point. So I liked beer and wine. And now it feels like a counterproductive health behavior. So I just feel like I'm not willing to, that's not something that I want to do enough to sacrifice all the work that I put into myself.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while I have a drink, but it's definitely not a thing that I do. You know, I know some people come home and have a drink at the end of the day. I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I do try to, we don't eat out very much. And I think that was something that I learned when I was getting nutrition. You know, I had a nutrition counselor and I was reporting what I was eating and keeping track of my macros and weighing my food. And at the time it was kind of like one of those eye-opening learning experiences where I realized that eating out a lot or getting takeout a lot was also counterproductive to my health.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a learning experience. That is not to say I never eat out. That's not the case at all. But I make choices about which things I want to eat out and when I want to eat out. And I just think about it more. Interestingly, I had never paid attention to nutrition at all. Like no thought put into it until I had kids and they had food allergies. And that was the first time I ever read nutrition labels. I had never looked at a nutrition label until 2003 or four. And I had a kid with a food allergy. And then I was like, what the heck is in my food? Like, I never realized that there was all this information on a nutrition label before and that you had to look and see. And then I was like, well, not only can we not eat their allergen, but I also don't want to eat all of that other gunk that's in there.
Right.
Other health behaviors. I move most days. So even if I'm not at the gym, I'm walking my dog. or going for a long walk somewhere. There usually aren't days where I'm doing nothing.
That's also good advice. I like that.
Yeah.
That's what I try and tell people, is like, have fewer days of doing nothing. Because I think some people, when they're not very active, they don't realize how many days they just literally sat around and didn't move at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing that I know that I am so fortunate about, though, is that I have always had easy access and time. Time is the biggest thing. So I have had the time to exercise.
Right.
So I try really hard to appreciate the people who struggle with work, fitness, balance, because I can't imagine if I had to make the choice between working out and getting my work done. Like, mm-hmm. that's a whole different beast. And I've never had to struggle with that.
Yeah. Well, it almost makes you appreciate, like you said, when they come into the gym and you're trying to make the most out of their hour, which is they've taken, you know, out of their time for themselves.
Correct. Right? Absolutely. I mean, I really think the people who work out at 7 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'm amazed by that.
Yeah. It's like working yourself up for that.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Any other questions you have for Steph, Sean? I'm trying to think of any other ones. I pretty much hit all the ones I wrote down.
Yeah. No, now that I know the whole ins and outs of Steph's existence.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's cool. Like, you know, I think you found CrossFit a little bit later in life, and that's interesting. And like what you said about lifting heavy, you know, lifting weights is super important, you know, for anyone.
Yeah.
And I really like, you know, how you kind of shifted your attitude through the years, maybe a little bit more away from this competitiveness to more of a balanced approach. And I think it's also interesting too, like that you still have that competitive, you know, mm-hmm. little thing. I think it's important to note that too. Like, I'm the same way. I, you know, have found some more balance in my life and have evolved, but it is, you know, I don't think I'll ever be able to totally get rid of that little voice. Uh-uh. So you just got to live with it and just recognize that it's still there, and don't let it win on the days when you shouldn't let it win, you know?
Oh yeah. I literally had an inner monologue with myself every time I work out. I'd be like, it's just a workout. Don't take it too seriously. Like, I don't need to beat everybody. Like, I literally have that daily. Yeah. And then I just am like, okay, this is better for me every time. And it is. It's like coming from that world of just competitive sports from a young age. It's like a hard thing to break.
Yeah.
But I agree with Mike. Steph, I was so excited to kind of talk to you because I feel like you have such a unique perspective on things, but especially your situation of, like Mike said, getting into it later, being into it for so long now at this point, you've really seen kind of the growth of CrossFit and kind of its whole lifespan, and just where you're at now and where you were is kind of refreshing for us to hear, but it's also, I hope, very informative for everybody else who's maybe in a similar situation with you of like, it's too late to get into this thing, or, you know, X, Y, or Z, like, I don't want to, should I lift heavy weights or whatever it is. So, I always appreciate talking with you, Steph, because I try and learn as much about for myself from you.
I also think it's really funny that, no matter where you went, everybody recognized how great of a leader that you are. Other than you,
do you want to coach here? You know,
you're the last one to be notified.
Me?
Yeah. But they all saw what we see in you, Steph. You're an amazing person, an amazing coach, and we're very glad that we had you on to talk.
Well, I'm so grateful to have found Suma. My life has been changed by my involvement in CrossFit. I feel so at home at Suma. I love the members. I love all you guys. And I'm, you know, I'm looking forward to another 10 years of CrossFit.
Yeah.
So,
and then for everybody at the gym, hopefully now that Steph is a wealth of knowledge and experience. So don't be afraid to talk to her and ask her questions. Yeah, Mike and I probably can't relate to yet.
And maybe somebody will actually take my advice. My kids fight it all the time. So I'm happy to give advice.
Yeah, and I think in the future too, look forward to some I think I want to do like a background on all the coaches, including myself, Katie, Sean. Yes. Crystal, you'll hear a little bit about us as well. So stay tuned for future episodes on that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great one out there. Talk to you later.